Way to flex that set.
Wow. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Cali BrickClick 129 this time. Some reason they just keep going up. I don't know what's going on. Anyways, you know, you can find us on all your podcasting platforms. But we have Claire back in the house.
Hello.
Shy, as usual. And a special guest this week, Justin from Just Too Good.
Hey, what's up? The return.
Currently, at the time of airing this video, we're all in Chicago except for these two above us. Actually, just half of us are in Chicago. Now that I said that out loud, that kind of makes sense. But a following up what we were talking about earlier before this, one day, Justin?
I want to, but I also get very nervous with this type of stuff. The large, it's weird. I like my own controlled social gatherings where like I'll invite people over. But if it's just a bunch of people that's out of my control, I get kind of nervous, honestly, when I'm just too good, at least. Like it's a little bit daunting. Yeah. I
don't know. Yeah. It's not the persona that you've like projected. Like you don't know how to react when people actually see you. Like, how do you respond to someone or who converses with you that you don't know anything about them, but they like know everything about you?
Right.
I think doing the exact opposite of what you're doing. I think making it a big deal for the creator and the person who the fan is making a big deal on either end is probably the worst thing you could do. Because if you make it a big deal, you're going to hype yourself out of something. And then if as the creator, and then if you make it a big deal and you're a fan, you're going to seem like an absolute weirdo. So like it's, I just don't think, do you know what I mean? I think like, I think it's just another way of like de-escalating a problem. And also like, I don't know. That's my personal like coping mechanism for it. So, and it quite frankly works quite well. So anyway, regardless, Justin, and Shy is very excited for Chicago. He's been talking about it for months. He's like, the hype is real for Shy.
I'm already partying it up right now at the time of this season.
Right now.
But
7 a.m.
But are we here to talk about Chicago or are we here to talk about Justin?
We're talking about Justin coming to Chicago right now. He has some sets behind that he needs to sell.
Yeah, not this. Not my baby.
Well, either way, one day we'll get you to come out this way. Hopefully,
yes. You know,
I hope you don't feel that you're not welcomed in that type of atmosphere or you would freak out because there's a lot of people that would love to see you, meet you, and, you know, just converse with you just normally.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But with that being said, a lot has kind of happened to you recently that you've made public. So before we get into that, like, how have you been?
I've been doing very well recently. I mean, the last couple of months have been a journey, private stuff and public stuff. But yeah, I mean, I've been doing very well recently, thankfully. And it feels great to come out about my addiction that I've suffered for many years that I kept hidden from the channel. But it was noticeable from the outside if you were an avid Just Too Good viewer or even a friend of mine, as Shy pointed out.
Yeah, there is a, I guess, if not saying you should go back to this episode. So the last time Justin was here, I called him out a couple times. It just, your behavior was kind of erratic and it wasn't how I used to converse with you normally. Like I've communicated with you online and offline a couple times, seen you in person. And at that conversation for that episode just didn't seem like 100% you. We didn't really want to pry or get into it, but after we're...
Pry all you want.
Well, and after you came out with that message, like it was made clear, I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense during the time frame of when that was being recorded. I'm glad that you've come out with it however way you did, which publicly you made everyone aware, but I feel like the reaction for your community has been pretty positive.
Overwhelmingly. I mean, it's just crazy how positive it's been, and from people who don't even watch me, from friends. Like did we even say I was addicted to drugs?
Okay, go ahead.
I should have said that. Yeah, I was addicted to drugs. Specifically, main addiction was marijuana. A supporting addiction, alcohol, but to a much lesser extent. If I drink alcohol now, I will do marijuana in like a week. So I cannot touch alcohol. I can't touch any drugs. This is why I'm sober. I came out about that in a video recently, basically. And there's legal marijuana in Florida, which is Delta 8. And that was the uptick in my recent years of addiction was how accessible it was and how there was no fear of legality with it, because every smoke shop has Delta 8 or whatever, and you don't need a card for it or whatever. But it ruined my life. It ruined my channel. It gave me problems that I still deal with to this day. I never faced anxiety before I got addicted to these drugs, and now I have some massive anxiety problems. I have eczema, which is like a skin condition, which I didn't have before. I was suffering through depression for the past couple of years, which I didn't face before I got addicted to these drugs. And I'm not saying these drugs directly caused it, but marijuana has an effect of many effects that might have caused it, of course. I don't know. It's kind of hard to talk about right now. So you're going to have to guide me through this, but I want to go into it, you know, whatever. So.
I mean, it's true. I think it does affect other people different ways, you know?
Of course. It's like anything. Person. Yeah. It's about anything. And that's the thing with addiction. Anything could be addicted. At one point, I felt I was addicted to Fortnite, you know? Which,
yeah, exactly. Some people are addicted to Lego.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure I was at one point where I would buy all these packages. But just my personal struggles.
There's also like a whole lifestyle like associated with it. You know what I mean? I think, and a lot of people get dragged into that. And I'm not saying you were, but I know like from my personal experience with friends that have gone through it, you know, it's like, okay, you smoke and you drink and you're kind of like, and you're in this like pattern of sleeping in and not sleeping, you know, like you sleep a lot, but you're not sleeping effectively. So you're never fully rested. So you're never like focused. And then you eat really poorly. And so you feel really poorly and you're not exercising. And then you can get these like sidebar conditions. Yeah. Like the eczema, like psoriasis, like, you know, because your skin is like this big organ that reacts to like what you ingest as well. And so it's
exactly. That's a great way.
It's like cyclical. Right. And so
I'd be seeking that high. Mm-hmm. So when I wasn't high, all I wanted to do was get high. The point where I was using it. Of course, in the early days of me using it, I could balance out the highs of hanging out with friends. How nice. I felt then was fun, you know. You know, was a better high than getting high off of marijuana. But then we started to use drugs as friends, and it's like started to tie that in. And my joys in life were soonly dissipating to just being, I gotta get high. And the more you use a drug, a lot of the times, the more your tolerance goes up. So that means you gotta use more, and it's less effective. And kind of tied in with that. And then with sleep, marijuana affects your sleep in a way where you'll stop producing dreams with chronic sleep because you're missing a certain cycle of your sleep. And so I was not getting the proper sleep I needed. So I was always tired. I wasn't dreaming or anything like that. So it ruined a lot of things for me.
I mean, it feels, I'm really curious because you're like, it ruined my channel. It ruined my life. It did like all these awful things. You know what I mean? But it's like, is it, I'm really curious, like through like your experience of like deciding to be sober, were you like, I did these things. I ruined my channel. You know what I mean? Like how do you like not, I guess my question for you is like, how do you dissociate yourself from the problem? Because I think that that's like, it's really fascinating. I think that would be a really interesting thing to talk about, if that's okay. Do you know
what you mean? Yeah, no, I see exactly what you mean. I mean, my own personal responsibility of this was that, yes, it affected me, but at the ultimate end of the day, it's my choice and how I...
Right.
And you could still be productive with an addiction like this, and right. You could be addicted to anything. So, yeah, it was me because it was something I learned through therapy, because I did blame it so much on the drug. And I am colloquially now, but like it was my responsibility. And, you know, you make the bed you lay in or something like that. But like, basically I built up the base. Whenever I would go through any difficulty, it would be my coping skill would be to use. And so anytime in that threshold of, oh, this is a small difficulty, you know, this is something that was really affecting me. Oh, this is just a small thing. Okay, time to use. Would just lower each time so that I would just use for everything. You know, that was just a minor misstep. Oh, I got to clean my room. Want to use instead. You know, go to another place. And I had to get out of there. And I did not get out of there by myself. I mean, I basically told my brother that I relapsed because I was sober from December 2021 to March 2022. Which was funny because that's when I saw you in real life die, and I saw Claire. Yeah, that was, those were the last couple days of me being sober. So I was pretty alert and stuff then. Like, I was doing great.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm finally quitting for good. But then I just fell back into it. I think it was like the day the Batman came out was the day I drank. And then later that day I used weed. But anyways, my brother, I had to do that. And my brother was just like, okay, we got out, you know, consensually. Okay, I'm going to take all of your stuff. And part of me was like, don't. And then the other part was like, yes, please do. Please do. And he took all my stuff. And he's like, I'm going to take your keys. And you're not going to leave? You agreed to that? I'm like, part of me thankfully said yes. And he did that. And I was going through hell for like 3 weeks where I'm just like going crazy. And like, I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. But that helped. And then also telling my mom that I was going through this because she never knew I was going through drug addiction. Mm-hmm. And that put another eye of accountability on me. I didn't want to. I saw how that affected her. And it made me never want to use again. So honestly, I couldn't have done it by myself, and my family helped so much.
That's really awesome that they were so supportive. I assume you're also getting total let's put like a label on it. You got professional help. That's like, right. Like that's the.
Well, throughout the past. Yeah. I got professional help first for it from, UCF Cares, which if you go to UCF Cares, the resource there is not great. They did not help me with my addiction. So it was just a therapist that did not help me. But then mm-hmm. I found a legitimately amazing therapist who I love, who I still use to this day. And therapy is for some reason frowned upon in the United States, which is just crazy to me. Therapy, I think everybody should do it, but keep in mind, not every therapist is good. So,
yeah, I think it depends what like social sphere you're in. Therapy should be looked at like going to the gym. It's kind of like a, you know, it's a maintenance thing. Sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's just like finding a trainer or finding a gym or finding a type of workout class. You have to find the right.
That's a great way to put it. And like, there were problems I didn't know I had just from all my years of living that.
Of course. Yeah. Like, how did you get to this point? Like, why did you
exactly.
make
it? Exactly.
Like, to like use drugs, like why did you not have any coping mechanisms for things that were stressing you out? Like, why was it so easy to do that? You know, that's like, those are things that like someone who has a degree and experience can like help walk you through, which is like so neat. It's like, I think that's the neatest part about therapy is like realizing, or at least like doing the work to like figure out like the decisions that you make in your life and kind of why you make them. And then figuring out how to either change them or just like kind of reward yourself for some of the good stuff. Because what, like, how old are you, Justin? You're pretty young.
25.
You're 25. There's plenty of people who behave this way until they're like way later in life. And like, yeah, you've probably done some pretty serious damage to your body. But mm-hmm. like at the same time, you have plenty of time to recover. Do you know what I mean? It's just mm-hmm. like, and the damage is probably not from the drugs, alcohol. I mean, probably a lot of it is, but it's also probably from being like sedentary from the drugs and alcohol and like,
legit, you know, I mean, yeah, the
thing, takeout and all that
using,
stuff.
Yeah. Using weed. Yeah. Cause I used edibles mostly. I didn't smoke.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. Edibles, I'd go like, oh, well, I need to get more fat so that like to eat it with fat, like literally fatty foods.
Yeah.
Because that will help edibles hit harder. So let me order the extremely mm-hmm. unhealthy thing from Uber Eats.
Right.
And like that was like, you know, damaging and
right.
And then the next day, I feel like I have an addiction to eating out and stuff. I've been like combating that. You know?
That's good.
It can be addictive.
Yeah, no munchies.
Yeah.
But like a therapist is something I feel like as you guys said, everyone should at least attempt to use at least every now and then. Because using the gym or the trainer as a great metaphor, you might know how to use a machine or whatever. So you might have your own ways of coping with whatever you're dealing with, but you need someone to like ensure that you're doing the form right mm-hmm. and that you're doing the reps that you need to do to be able to function correctly and gain the goals that you need. So, you know, you might have your own coping mechanisms for dealing with issue A, but it's not helping you get to achieve your goal of that issue A and to crack that. So you need someone to fix your back so that way you're pulling this way.
I would look at it with therapy, a professional, because we usually go to our friends or family for help, which is helpful, of course. But you kind of want a professional outside opinion to see and give you advice, you know, on what's going on.
Yeah, I do think like friends and family can be damaging in two ways. One, they might not know what they're talking about, which is like most of the time. Two, you're also burdening them with your issues. And like your friends and family, sorry, my sirens, but like your friends and family aren't there. Yeah, they're there to support you. And yeah, they want to do all these things, but like they also have their own issues. Do you know what I mean? And so it's kind of like I've always found it really interesting. It's like your partner or your parent. I mean, parent is like a little bit different, but like when you're an adult, like these things are kind of your responsibility and your responsibility alone. And even though you have like a community and a society and everybody needs that, it's also like respecting them and like what you can kind of unload on them. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I think it was like amazing that your brother did that. But then if you didn't go to therapy, that would have been problematic, right? Because he would have been responsible, and that also wouldn't have been fair to him. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I'm very grateful that my brother did that, you know, but it wasn't his responsibility.
I mean, yes and no. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? Like it is and it isn't. It's kind of like, yes, to like kind of wake you out of it, but like to kind of do the hard work, that's on you. And that's to get a therapist and to do that. But like, I think.
And just, like, I was going to say, nobody I knew or stuff like that would even go to therapy. So these advices were like, I was just like advised by some people, oh, make a schedule. That's going to solve everything. Like, okay, what the fudge? Like,
for some people, maybe, but that's not you should. I think it's also, we're kind of skirting around the issue a little bit. You have a mega big YouTube channel that has been around for years. And there's this like compounding impact of growing up on the internet and creating this space and having this atypical job where you're responsible for your literal waking every hour. You have no structure to your day other than doing your content. And so like, that is literally like a breeding environment for, it's a high anxiety situation because for both reasons, like not only do you have to like set up your own schedule, but like you have this pressure that's like kind of like been building on you for so many years. And then it's like, it's a hard thing to deal with. And it's like, people are like, oh, you should be so grateful that you have this like big channel. I would imagine, oh, you should be so grateful that blah, blah, blah. And
like,
yeah.
People would just be like, oh, you know, work harder on this, like just spend more time doing it and like to get more money stuff. Because a lot of people here are just like, life equals a lot of money. Happiness equals a lot of money. Work hard and that's your life. And it's like, I need free time and stuff like that, you know?
Totally. But I think there's a lot of, I am personally one of the people that believes that like making money gives you freedom in this country because of the things that are set up. If you get sick, for example, you have the resources to go to the best doctor. If you have
children, therapy wasn't even covered by my insurance. Like,
And you had the resources to, you know, like
so much for.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, like it tends to be a statement of privilege to say that like, you know, money doesn't bring happiness. And so I do think that like, I would just be like a little bit conscious of that because for a lot of people in this life, like money is the biggest thing that's stopping them from doing the things that they want to do in their life. You know what I mean? So I think there's just like an element of that. Therapy is also a privilege, right? And so it is, a lot of people don't have the resources. Like you said, it wasn't covered. And it's kind of awful because there's a lot of people that are experiencing what you just did. You know what I mean? And they can't, they don't have the capacity to go and get the
higher
help.
Level also.
Yeah.
That was one thing that definitely helped with therapy. Going back to what you said a little bit before was that like, I never had a plan of when having this YouTube channel at a young age, fortunately, I'm in a position of privilege to have that. I never had a plan of how to deal with like viewers, how to separate myself from like who's on camera and stuff like that. And like therapy definitely helped with that as seeing this outside perspective that I can never,
I
never grasped, you know?
Yeah. That's really cool. I'm just curious, like not that there's like so many people out there that have big channels, but like, if you don't mind sharing, like what coping mechanisms like did you learn like with having such a large audience? I think like as a like, you know, this podcast tends to bring on a lot of creators and that's like what we talk about a lot here. And I think, and most of our listeners are creators. And so I think people would be interested, especially if they are growing, you know, like kind of like what should they prepare for? Like, how should they manage? You know what I mean? You know, like if you were, cause you are in a position of experience. Do you know what I mean? Like, even though you went through this whole thing, you've been around the block a little bit with this YouTube thing and you've kind of hit hit a bottom of sorts and are and seem like you're doing super well right now. So like what if you, because mm-hmm. you can give advice, like what would you give now?
Yeah, well, there was one, and it relates to other problems I've had and everything. It's just like I would always frown upon every mistake I made, and just any misstep I would project as just like, I got to be the best I could be. But there's striving to be the best you could be, but you're also, don't take this the wrong way, I guess, would be like, you're not going to be the one to save the world in every action you do as this heroic person. So don't hold yourself back for any misstep you make. You are an individual. You are a person. I kind of learned that at a later age, where I was just afraid to be myself because I'm like, oh, well, what if this happens in terms of them seeing me as this and stuff like that? And it's honestly something that I never heard until therapy. So there's that. And that was one that really stood out to me.
That's really awesome. No, that's honestly, really good.
That is great too. But yeah.
Justin, I remember like so clearly I was in this like, totally not the same scenario, but I was super stressed out and I was in this like work. I was on this crazy work deadline and it was this mega huge project. It was like a few hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like it was big. And I was, the situation was understaffed. I was like working 800 hour weeks. And so I lost like all frame. Like I was addicted to my job, you could say in a way, like I got highs off of like any satisfaction, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I had like a lot of the same, actually now I think about it, I had a lot of the same like symptoms that you did. I had really bad sleep. You know what I mean? Like every time, like if I felt bad about something, I would go work, you know, cause it gave me like satisfaction or whatever. But anyway.
For me, it was weed. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever, like, you know, and the problem with mine, it was more socially, it's like socially acceptable, right? It's like seen as like a productive thing when it was like super damaging. And then that's where the conversation of, yeah, money doesn't equal happiness. Yeah,
that's sure. What, yeah, exactly. And I wanted to clarify the money doesn't, because I know there's so many people who have to feed their family, you know, and work these jobs. Like that's, right. I totally get that.
Right. You're talking about that echelon.
I'm saying like if you were in a I'm in a position of privilege where I'm making a lot of money on thing, and there's I just see a lot of people who are making even more money than me who want to be greedier and just like, okay, this is what I'm going to overwork myself. And there's so many valuable things in life that you're missing out on, I feel like. Mm-hmm. But you know, to each their own. For who wants to live their life, who am I to say?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, that's the nice thing about our country, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah,
but like I think no, but my point that I was getting at is like I remember so clearly being in that moment, being in this like hyper intense work situation, and I remember my friend telling me like, Claire, we are not surgeons, we don't save lives. Like it's like, and it was such like a reminder of like, yeah, I'm just like a glorified paper pusher, you know what I mean? And so like it's just like, why do I have the pressure of the world or the pressure of like people's lives on my head? And like, I think when you're, and it was a very like public facing job. And so there's that, but I think when you're not in a work environment, when you're like a social media creator and you're kind of like home alone, like making your content, you don't really have that like checks and balances sometimes of like a work environment, you know? And I think it's kind of lonely a little bit.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I love consulting friends and family for, you know, opinions on the job and stuff that I have, which I love that it's a hobby tied in job. But I don't know if a lot of their advice was helpful because it would just make me overwork myself and doubt everything more. So it's kind of like, that's why I like the therapy where it's like this professional outside opinion. And it's just like, okay. Because like so many things in life seem more complex. Oh, I'm a Lego YouTuber. But, you know, you could break it down similar to somebody who's stressing themselves out, you know, like you said, where you were working, you know. I guess issues are universal in many ways, but yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I guess not to, like, take away from the conversation, and if you ever want to, like, bring it back to that, I think it would be interesting to talk about how, you know, this transition and you vocalizing, you know, after the case, you know, when you're in a good place, you know, on your social media, you made the decision, you know, you're like, I am human, this is who I am, and I'm going to share. And then simultaneously deciding to reignite your relationship with Lego and join LAN is kind of, it's kind of interesting that it's happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. First off, I just want to warn you, it's getting really rainy outside, so if you cut out, you know what's going on.
You said the same thing last time.
It's hurricane season. What do you want?
Yeah. I'm always like hurricane season starts in May, like what the heck? But basically what happened was I was kind of in a dark ages these past couple of years. I was getting tired of Lego. Just because like weed ruined my passion and getting highs, you know, getting happy from other things. And so I was uninterested in Lego. Regardless, I quit LAN in March 2020, which was the first time I was sober. I was sober from March 2020 to May 2020. And then I was sober from December 2021 to March 2022. March 2021 is when I quit LAN. I was sober March 2021 to May 2021. So I quit LAN when I was sober, but I guess I was a couple weeks sober or something. And here's the thing that like I had a problem with that I got through therapy, that I sold through therapy, is that like people change and people grow. You could think one thing 2 years ago and that's okay if you change your opinion on it now. Like I was really dumb a couple years back. but I've changed my opinion. I've grown so much that like I felt like, okay, maybe LAN is meddling with my content or stuff like that, but I don't think they were, and I was just overreacting. Weed makes you paranoid, so even though I was sober, I was a couple weeks sober, so maybe that was it or something. But LAN was just a helpful thing, and it made me a little bit more social in the community space, so I think rejoining it, as long as they don't affect my content, I'm fine. But there's like this hate towards LAN now, which is crazy.
You did, to be totally fair, you did come on and like talk to us about you leaving LAN. And the message that was like taken, or at least like it wasn't necessarily that they were meddling. It was that you wanted to do news videos. That was like where your joy came from, was like the excitement and the hype of like Lego releases. And they were, it was when they were cracking down and they were still trying to figure out like how they were going to handle that. And that's how it came across. I'll just be totally honest, that you didn't like that they were basically having a say in what you could and couldn't do with your channel, which is, I don't think that's like a level of paranoia from what it seemed like. I'm sure behind the scenes it was totally something different, but at least from the outside, that was like kind of the message.
Well, that's how it started. Yeah, because they were going to stop allowing text leaks.
Got it.
Which they allow. And before I quit LAN, I made a whole thing about it on LAN, and they actually listened to me and they're like, we'll allow it. But I was just like, that was one step too far. I'm quitting.
Got it. So like, kind of your reasonable, your like rationale, like your point of reason was.
And like, it's going to drop harder than this, you know? So, but you know, having friends in LAN, it didn't drop any harder than that. And the only thing I can't cover now is like grainy image leaks that we don't know the source of, which doing that for 2 years again, after not doing it since like 2016, I don't even enjoy those videos. They're very disposable. I like instead having the ability to prep a video ahead of time, which is what these LAN press releases give me, which is something that's so much better for my mental health. Cause I would just, oh gosh, I gotta wake up. I gotta rush out. Oh no, this YouTuber beat me to it or whatever. Now I can just prep it out, schedule it. And I like that way better, honestly, personally. Yeah. That's the privilege of joining LAN, and then people were like free sets early, but you know, I don't know. So that was also linked with just me getting back into Lego out of this dark ages that was kind of caused by extreme chronic like drug use, you know, just like I have no joy in life. But like starting in like November, December, I was like starting to like Lego again. I'm like, you know, it's these, I love collecting minifigures and, you know, the excitement of a new set releasing and what theme they're going to do and building Lego sets. Like, there was a while since, like, 2022. I don't think I've built, like, more than 3 Lego sets or something. But now I've built a lot of Lego sets in 2023 because that passion's back. And it's just, like, it's fun again. And the thing was, Lego was a calming thing for me, you know? Building a Lego set is very calming. And then it just became weed was very calming to me. So now I want something like that back in my life of building the bricks and focusing, you know, on that. So I'm glad to have that back.
So Lego for you is in a way like a coping mechanism.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Because that's what it was for me. Like, I suffer from some other issues as well that I made public on my channel at least once or a couple times. But for, you know, I just recently got into Lego in comparison to you. So what I used to do before was my motorcycle, and I still do. And my motorcycle is my, you know, time to focus. Like, I need to, like, you know, pay attention to what's happening in front of me, or else I'll just die. But when I was younger on the motorcycle, although I had that same type of feeling of, you know, dealing with how I deal with stuff back then, I was a lot more aggressive, meaning I'd be more reckless on the road. I did not care about my life or others, but it was, you know, like it wasn't focused in a way that it should have been until like my children were born. And when my kids were born, like I didn't really, you know, I kind of had to chill out a lot. I didn't want to ride anymore. I just couldn't. Like I had to buy a car. I had to like transport them. So I didn't have that like way of trying to numb my mind from the issues that consistently are circling in my head, which you can kind of understand where that was going. So Lego was that new cope for me, which is now we have all this. And it's a great thing to have that you're, you know, if you need to de-stress or, you know, step away from whatever hardship you're going through, or, you know, just want to be in a positive place with however Lego, like, you know, can do for you. But it still, for me, wasn't like completely fixing it. Like, I still had to go to therapy back, you know, to rearrange, like, you know, how I thought of stuff and the process of how I do things. And still this day, it still affects me, like how I converse with people, how I, like, because I do have a lot of anger problems. And a good way for me to like fix that, according to my therapist, is like just kind of reassessing what's actually making you angry and like what's really worth the energy to put in, you know, that focus on. Because usually when in an equation, right, A plus B equals C, like C being anger, A being the actual problem, but B is your action. The B I have control over. So if I want to fix the C to not be the outcome of where it's going to be, which would put me in a negative place, regardless of what happens in A and B, I could affect the B. So if that made any sense, I don't know. That's what I do normally when someone,
no, I like, do understand
like,
what
when you someone mean. Pisses me off. Like, what's like before you would, if you were to bump into me on my shoulder and you didn't apologize, we'd have a problem.
Oh, no.
like now though, you bump into me.
What is sense of self-worth? Like, that's like, I do, or is it like, what
that's,
is,
that is it's that, just how I grew up, and also like just being aggressive. That's just how it's been like, amplified
for opportunities for conflict.
Yeah, that's probably it.
That's it. Yeah, I'm like the opposite, where like I avoid conflict at all costs. I am awful at confrontation and stuff like that. Like, I am very like I don't like getting mad at people. I don't hold grudges and stuff.
Oh yeah, like, I am very irritable when it comes to when I have problems. So like on a road, if you were to almost kill me on a motorcycle, I am destroying your car. That's going to happen. But like now, because I've been going through therapy, because I, you know, I'm doing the steps I need to do because of my children, my family, what I want to accomplish, you can bump onto me in the shoulder. I won't think nothing of it. Like, I'll just.
Oh, I hate it when people bump into me just because like it hurts. And like, for me, it's like it makes me realize like, oh man, it's too bad that there's these people in the world that have no sense of like space and spatial awareness and like other people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, to me, it's like a reflection of the fact that like people don't really care about others. And that's like a horrible feeling. But that's
for me, like when I see it, like I've always dealt with like, not dealt, but I hang out with a lot of like socially awkward people and stuff like that. So I am so aware, I'm socially awkward myself, I'm sure, but like I'm aware of like everybody, you know, you don't know what's going on with a person, like
that's
they don't attend it or stuff, like that's it. Yeah,
what you said right there is empathy and sympathy is something that lacks with people when aggression happens. So like now my thought process is maybe this person just didn't see me, going back to what Claire said, like they're not aware of their own thing, but that's their problem. They didn't intend to bump into me.
No, of course not. Most people are like self-obsessed. That's the problem. That's why I get upset, because it's like people are so self-focused. and they forget about the world around them. Do you know what I mean? And so they bump into people, or they almost hit a biker, or they actually, you know what I mean? Like, that's, I'm like a nihilist about it. Do you know what I mean? I'm just So,
and then mine was more focused on like, you intended to bump into me, and I would not think any other way.
That, no, I think you were stupid for that.
So that was me. And that's the focus. And I would be, and which is so like narrow-minded, and I was so self-absorbed into my own, like, I should be walking, you shouldn't be bumping to me, as opposed to you just didn't see me, or it was an accident, or, you know, maybe if you didn't, this was the key here that my therapist really had to punch in my face, was maybe you did intend to bump into me, but why did you intend to bump into me? Did I offend? I'm speaking metaphorically, obviously.
Yeah.
Did I offend you in another way in a past life? Or, you know, where are they going through something that they just need to take out their aggression on me? Does my aggression meet with your aggression really solve the issue of you bumping into each other? Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. So that frame of thought would, although, you know, Lego does help with calming me down. Bikes help me with calming me down at times. Now it does. But I really would have never put that together if someone didn't tell me that, or just someone just put in my life. And I, of course, my friends and my family will tell me stuff like that, but
no,
am I listening to them? No, because they tell me this all the time. Like, and also my club doesn't help me out. Like, now, like, when I bump into someone by accident, they will take it out on them. Like, I have to kind of read them, like, hey, chill, relax. It's not about
that. Well, I come from like a very anti-therapy family, so it's always like something like that. So it's like, I really need to hear stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, but, man, the world is that anti-therapy thought process is antiquated. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's like something. Yeah, no, it's like not a thing anymore. Especially like you got to shut it down. You got to shut that kind of thinking down in the same way, because it's like typically like the anti, like a lot of my family is like anti-therapy as well, but they like have like weird problems that are like kind of pathetic that they could have dealt with like years and years ago. And they're like kind of all miserable. And so it's just like, usually people who are like, I'm going to offend people when I say this, but people who are like anti-therapy are kind of stupid. It's people who are anti anything tend to like have a lack of knowledge of whatever that thing they're anti against, whatever that is. And then it's a complete lack of empathy and understanding, and also believing a self-worth that you know better than somebody else.
True.
Who do you think you are that you know better than somebody else? There's always somebody that knows better than you. And people are going to be like, oh, well, Claire, you sound like you know better than, you're saying you know better than me. And I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there's somebody that knows better than me. I believe in education. I believe in the system that we live in and that we've created. And that there is like a reason that those exist. And it's like, how can you, like, how can something exist that's there to support you be a bad thing? You know?
Exactly.
So
Lego's great though.
Lego's a great escapist hobby that unfortunately is very materialistic and incredibly consumer based.
Yeah.
So it can be incredibly damaging for a lot of people. And I think it's not, a lot of people get into financial strife. Mm-hmm. They don't have other life experiences because they're buying Lego. They're not paying off their credit cards completely because they're buying Lego. They're taking out of their savings. They're maybe not traveling. And, you know, people can be like, I don't want to travel. Sure, fine. I mean, but that makes your
traveling was, that was another thing that helped me. Like, I don't know, on this whole journey was like going to Canada, which was brought on by LAN. That was brought on by LAN. I would have never went out of the country if it wasn't for LAN. Well, you know, I planned a Japan trip and then
later, you can go to Japan.
was like, it's another world, and there's so much outside of our bubble of what we were raised in and everything. And like, that was another thing that just blew my mind. And I think
it's so good to do that.
Yeah. I love traveling now. Like, oh my gosh. And I say that, I haven't gone out of the country since Japan, but I'm going soon, you know?
Right. And just like, just that thing to work for. I just think there's like a lot of people in the Lego space that tend to like isolate themselves from other things in their life because they're like spending all this money and like all this space. And it's just like, man, it's like, I love it and I do it, but I don't think it's worth sacrificing for. I just don't think it's worth sacrificing for.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. And one thing that I'm more fortunate to have, because I guess I have a great setup, is I get a lot of joy from making Lego videos. Like, Lego videos, making them are fun. Like, honestly, when I'm not stressing out, and like, again, LAN has helped with this for prepping things. When I'm not stressing out, it's fun making a Lego video to me. Like, I like talking about Lego. I think I get maybe a little bit more joy nowadays talking about Lego on camera than building Lego. Now, it is different talking about Lego in real life, because when I'm talking about it to people outside of the YouTube, I don't really like talking about it. I like talking about life things, and I like talking about movies, like movies I'll talk about all the time outside and inside videos, but yeah.
No, I mean, I get it. You're talking about Lego 24/7 when you're at home. Like, why do you need to talk about it to our friends? And like, even when, you know, we see each other in real life, like we talk about Lego very minimally.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but for the most part, we already know what we all bought because we share it. Yeah. So it's not like we need to know, like, oh, what do you think about this? And, oh, you technically already said it, so I don't need to know. It's more like, hey, you know any new coffee spots? Because I can't find one. Like, you know, that's
oh, well, I love talking about food, too. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, isn't there like isn't there Just Two Food? Isn't there like
Just Two Food? Good? Just Two Food, Just Two Film.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, last time we talked about it, you were like, you still wanted to get into film and like get into that kind of aspect. Mm-hmm. Is that still on the docket? Like, you know, first thing you mentioned was that this whole experience unfortunately like ruined your channel. So what are your goals now for your channel?
I am spending less time on film than now being productive and sober, which makes me sad, but like I would literally watch 3 films a day on weed, like every day. Now I watch 2 films a week maybe, which makes me so sad, and I have no time to write movie scripts, which
is it.
Oh, I was gonna say, so working on film, was you watching films or was it
that was part of it? Most of it was me studying film and seeing what I like and what I don't like. Like, it's basically like going to film school. I don't know. For me, I don't want to go to film school. I've learned so much just by watching films from all around the world, from different people, from different times. And then I translate that to scripts I'm working on. And it's like I've made such little progress compared to what I want to make on these scripts now that I'm more productive. Because I don't know. I spend a lot of time doing Lego videos, honestly. And then after that, I'm hanging out with friends. I'm actually socializing like I didn't do before, you know. I'm working out like I didn't do before. So that's one thing where I'm like, I wish I had a little bit more time for film, but that's something that personally I can make more time, and I just gotta focus on that.
You can also just take a couple film classes and
that's I was about to say, you do that stuff online,
that also gives you, but you don't have to, it just gives you structure. That's like that's why school is kind of cool, because it, if you're someone who has like, it just forces you. You're like, okay, I have this thing like 3 days a week of like an hour that I have to like, you know what I mean? Then I learn how to do script writing, or I learn how to like, you know what I mean?
I've honestly I will say it, and you know, to each their own. And there's some, I've had a bad experience in the education, not only of elementary through high school, then after that college. Like college was a massive waste of money where I learned nothing. I learned nothing except for the things that didn't relate to my major.
Did you go to class? Did you go to class and like sit in every lecture and stuff? And you
still still did not grasp. But that's just me. I guess I'm more of a different type of learner. I don't know the different types of learners.
Did you take film my head in college?
Nope. I took marketing, and I learned nothing from marketing.
For what? Like, why did you take marketing? Like, what was the goal with that, I guess?
I was in the mentality of, oh, I want to make a lot of money, so I'm going to quit Lego to be a marketer for a big business firm, and maybe I can make some cool commercials off of that. That's one thing that you got to take classes that you want to learn things. Like, I was looking at the aspect of, oh, I'm expected to make a lot of money, so let me do that. But maybe if I took it for film, I'd actually grasp onto it and like it. By attending the class, it went in one ear and went out the other, you know?
I think that's a major key there, is that you want to know this stuff. And I'm not knocking not wanting to go. And obviously YouTube, you know, university is a great way to get a lot of resource. But there is a science behind a lot of things like lighting, filming. But the theory behind certain why things are like put in certain genres and what makes them that genre, like there's a huge history behind it that I think shouldn't be overlooked. Otherwise, then you just
need
the love behind it. So
I need the things I'm missing is stuff I could learn from school that's like hands-on experience of. Those are like the ones for me, because I don't look at film in a way of like, oh, there's like a right way to tell a story or show a character and there's a wrong way. I just need the technical aspects, in my opinion. Like, I don't know what's the difference between a dolly and a steady cam? What's
See, a grip? And that's what you need to like, that's what film school can give you. If you want to pursue that part in film school, like film school is obviously this mass thing. You don't have to do everything. You can do certain parts of it, but it's good like, when writing a script, because when you write a script, you have to kind of visualize the picture in words. Meaning, like, where is it coming from? What, you know, what camera is this? What camera is that? Like, if you're not able to articulate that, then whoever you give your script to, they're going to think it's amateur. If they're getting a consistent, like, if they're getting scripts every day, you still need, you know, you kind of need to know what you're talking about. So,
yeah, no, I totally understand that. Yeah. And it's also expensive to do school. It's, I don't know. My experience of being ripped off last time, but it's something I'm thinking about maybe to go back and do film school. But you know, I don't know.
Well, I hope you do, because I know you wanted to do that last time, or at least you wanted to pursue film. So, and I understand there was a part of me that wanted to do that too, and I kind of regret not doing that.
Well, it's never too late.
Well, I should probably take my own advice. But again, so with your channels, then it seems like you lit a fire with what's going on, at least with your Lego one.
Well, first off, just getting that out, the honesty has helped a bit. There's still things I need to be honest about that I'm holding back, that is holding back the channel so much. It'll all make sense in the future. But so that's something that's still holding me back. I don't like being a character on camera and stuff like that. I like being my honest self. Like, people work so well by being a character on camera, but I don't know. I like personally being my honest self with these videos and everything like that. But what I've done differently is, again, that video really helped. That addiction video really helped, because I always would have the pressure in my mind of like, oh, well, all these old fans are just watching my stuff and feeling like there was a dip in quality and maybe I've lost their trust. So in my mind, it sounded like, okay, well, I've regained their trust by being honest about that. But also not pressuring myself to make an upload every day. Like, I'm not going to upload today. I upload like every 2 days past couple weeks, and there will be a few days where I won't upload. And like, first off, that's better for the algorithm, it seems like. And second off, it's better for my mental health. Like, I can't just like force myself to upload every day and just like, and also just putting more effort into my videos. On one hand, it's a little bit more time consuming, but I love having a finished product that is just something that feels passionate. And also, before I got addicted to drugs, I would always want to raise my quality, and that kind of got lost, where it was just like, oh, well, I can make a quick buck and just put this out and just people will watch. I'm done with that mindset, and I want to continue to grow and like, whoa, like Just Too Good's content's really getting great. And also acknowledging faults and different perspectives. I don't know. I felt like I had a very narrow view back in the day on some videos that like everybody thought the same as me or something like that. I don't know. Maybe I didn't, but personally, I feel like acknowledging that there's people from different backgrounds and everything watching my videos, and that what I feel is just an opinion and everything has made my content stronger. And then things I want to do in the future, I'd want to do more lists, because I get the most fun from doing my list videos, and I haven't done one in a bit, and I'm working on a long one right now, but that's definitely something I want to do more of. And also like a question and answer series, which everybody loves doing. And I had one back in the day, Just to Mail, back in like 2017, and then it just went away. And I'm like, that's a great way to interact with my fans more. I want to find more ways to interact with my fans. So like, I'm even going to start doing on Twitch, like watch alongs where we watch like a thing together. I won't show anything on screen because copyright, but like we'll have the little timer at the bottom, and then that'll help me go to the film content that I want to see, and also not feel like I'm missing out on the fan interaction that I crave, you know, and social media aspects of, you know, making some money from that and also growing the Just Too Good brand, you know. So it's like kind of linking the things I love together and interacting with fans and stuff like that. So
all right,
sorry, that was a ramble.
Oh no, that was fine, that was cool. It's good to have goals, and hopefully you're able to obtain the ones that you just mentioned right now within.
And there's just the main goal though, is like, there's just another update video I got to make. And it's like, I'm so scared to make it. That needs to get out, because there's becoming a divide of this character I play and who I am. And like, I'm just so scared to make it and everything. So it'll be round two of the addiction type video, you know, that honest video that will affect people. And, you know,
why do you feel like you owe your viewers like that kind of thing? So I'm just like really curious, like why is it anybody's business? Why is your business anybody's business, I guess?
That's 100% true. That's nobody's business. But personally, yeah. I get enjoyment by being the honest of who I am off screen.
So it's for you too. It's like, it's for you as well.
Right? Yeah, it is for me. Okay, it is for me. And I like being myself, and I feel like it could help people. That's the thing with my addiction video. I feel like I don't want to be like, oh, I help so many people. But I felt like if I saw a video like that from like somebody I watched, like that would be really helpful. Like people will say weed is not addictive at all, but anything could be addictive and it could have an impact on your life. So like I thought that video could maybe help a few people, and this next one will help so many people. But it's just it's going to be the hardest one. But yeah.
I don't remember if we asked this question the first time came on when the mask came off, but do you think holding back you or having to hide behind the mask for a long time has a play onto your sense of wanting to be honest with your fans?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that was like, I hate wearing masks and I like being myself. That makes me happy, which is not for everybody. And I do not recommend it for everybody doing a YouTube, you know, like separate your personal life and stuff. But for me personally, it brings me joy when I know that I could be my honest self and put the content out that I love. I don't know. I guess because like I've always growing up, I didn't know if there's much people like me. And now it's relating that there are people that can be like you and are accepting and everything. And I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, putting on a face a lot can be very heavy for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, a lot of actors have problems with that. So I can see how that can be an issue. But hopefully that update helps and it gives you more motivation to keep going in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, is there anything else you want to plug, share with us?
Just check out Just2Film and Just2Food, because those are fun videos to make. And Just2Film, I really would love to, if I could get to the level of Just2Good with that, that would be such a fun split, because then I could spend more time with films and feel a little bit less guilty about it. But honestly, I should allow myself to, you know, enjoy film and stuff like that. But also, I'm going to be doing a top 50 of summer 2023, the most anticipated sets, which is a video I've been working on for the past couple of weeks, and that's going to be a great video. So check that out if you haven't. It should be out by the time this is out. But yeah,
we'll see in Chicago in 2024.
we'll see. But yeah.
All right, Ninja.
Yeah, I mean, just roll that music.
Peace.
Whoa. Okay.
That's a climactic on that one.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I hope that was okay. Like,
it was good. It was fine.